And it's wonderful to see everybody out this morning.
Put your hands up. Is it messed up?
Get your lamp.
It's good to see everybody out. It's good to see everyone here. I did fail to announce a couple things. I asked Dan how the grandchild was doing, the new grandbaby was doing, and I failed to announce it. He said the grandbaby is doing well, is at home, and they're hoping and praying that everything continues to go well. He does have a few checkups, but their hopes of no surgery or anything. So we're thankful for the good news, pray that it continues to go well. And I failed to announce our gospel meeting coming up in March, so we want to mark our calendars and let that be known to our visitors. We welcome you to come and join us as we have Brother Randy Duvall come down and present a few lessons in March. I want to thank Charlie for leading the songs this morning. He had asked me what the title of the lesson was, and so he had strived his best to find some songs that help focus our minds upon what the lesson is about this morning. And we're going to be talking about how to act knowing the end is near. So his songs have gone forth and given us that wonderful thought of how wonderful it is, how sweet it will be when Jesus comes back to meet him in the air. And songs kind of focused on that mindset of the end of time, the mindset of meeting our Lord and Savior. And when we sit back and think about that, I'm going to trip over a pin if I don't pick it up. And if we take time to sit back and think about that, and think about the end of time, the question of how we should act knowing that that is coming. And in my mindset sometimes goes when I think about that, of some commercials I've seen in the past, or maybe some movies and television shows that have been made, and people have that mindset, well, if it's the last day, if it's the end of time, well, then you just do whatever you want. Because you might have the mindset of Groundhog Day, where it's the repeat of day, and you just do whatever you want, or it's the end of time, so just go do whatever you desire to do. You have a mindset of a song that comes to my mind of Live Like You're Dying. And so, you have all these bucket list goals that you want to achieve by the time you die. And so you might go out forth and try to do your best to accomplish those four tasks or go see those things that you've always wanted to see. And so there's a variety of ways in which men, the world, might take a look at it and say, well, this is how you should act, knowing that the end is near. What I want to do this morning is look at the Word of God and see what it tells us that we should be doing as we think about the end of time. Whether that is our life or the world and its destruction, we can see through the Word of God that there's a certain way we should be living our lives, knowing that judgment is near, knowing that our lives might come to an end. And as Scott had talked about on Wednesday night, that life is short. That it is, it's all of a sudden that life is taken away. And so we need to be living life a certain way. And so I hope that you open your Bibles and follow along. And as we start our lesson off, we're going to be turning to 2 Peter 3, and looking at verses 10 through 18. 2 Peter 3 and verses 10 through 18. And we know that this is talking about the end of time because it starts off talking about it in verse 10. It says, but the day of the Lord, the end of time, the day of the Lord, will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavens boldly will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. Here it's telling us everything's going to be dissolved, everything's going to be gone, nothing is going to be left. And verse 11 it says, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? And so here brings out that question, what kind of people should we be? Knowing what? Knowing the end of time is coming. Knowing the day of the Lord is like a thief in the night. We do not know when it will be. It could be tomorrow. It could be today. It could be in 100 years, 1,000 years. We do not know. But we do know the end of time is coming. The end of our life will come. It's appointed for everyone to die once. And so what sort of person ought you to be is the question he asks. And then he goes forth to be in lives of holiness and godliness. And so part of the question kind of goes forth and answers the question and says, in holiness and in godliness. That is how we should be living our lives from day to day, knowing that at any moment the Lord could return. knowing that at any moment our lives could end. That we should be living holy lives. That we should be living godly lives and making our life right in His sight. And of course, when it comes down to it, that comes to making sure that you have obeyed the gospel, that you've been baptized for the remission of sins, that you have washed your sins away, that you have repented of those sins. In order to be holy as God is holy, we have to go to Him to wash our sins away. In order to be godly, that means we have to put off the worldliness, the old man, and put on the new man. And so here it tells us, the end is coming. This is how we should be living our lives. And in verse 12, it says, waiting for and hasting the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Again, here bringing up the point. It's talking about the end of time. It's talking about the heavens and the world, all the elements, everything being burned up. And so what should we be doing as that day is approaching? He says we're waiting for that day. But it is, you know, we're waiting, and not just, you know, when it's going to come. But here it is saying we're hasted, we're zealous for it, we're ready for it. Again, this is not meaning you go out into traffic and say, I'm ready to meet God, and I'm going to go jump in front of a vehicle. What it's saying is that we're eager and excited to be with our God, to be with our Lord and Savior. We have a zeal and want and a love for our God, and we can't wait to spend eternity with Him. So we haste the day of the Lord. We eagerly wait for it. Verse 14 says, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace. And so here in verse 14, it goes forth and it tells us that we are diligently, eager, waiting. Again, where we're continuously working at making sure that we are ready. We are continuously working at it, diligently striving to make sure that we will be found without spot, without sin. Yes, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but that sin can be washed away. That sin can be forgiven. And so we are diligently checking and examining our lives, examining our actions, examining the words that come out of our mouths to make sure that when the Lord returns, that we have asked for forgiveness, that we have repented of our sins, and that we be found as a lamb without blemish. That we be found at peace with our God. As you pick up in verse 15, it says, and count the patience of the Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given to him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them as these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with error of the lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And so here it says, knowing the end of time is coming. And because the end of time is coming, and what people try to do, they try to twist the word of God. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, to know His word, diligently studying it, as we might turn to 2 Timothy 2 in verse 15, to be diligent again there. Why? To be able to rightly divide the word of truth, to be found a workman of God. And so we diligently grow in the grace and knowledge so that we know right from wrong, and that we will not be taken away from the words of God. We'll know who to trust. So these are some of the things we need to be doing, knowing the day is drawing near, knowing the end of time is coming, knowing our life will be called upon us at one point. Living in holiness and godliness, growing, hasting the day that the Lord shall return. If you turn with me to Matthew, we're going to be looking at Matthew for a couple points here as we continue to make sure that we are ready for that day. Matthew chapter 24, and these points are going to come from chapter 24 and chapter 25. Matthew 24, and looking at verse 43 through 51 here it brings out, it says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into." Again, here's that mindset as we read there in Matthew. A thief in the night has come. And so we have to be ready. Verse 44 says, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at the hour you do not expect. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his house to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of the servant will come on the day when he does not expect him, and at the hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Knowing the master will return. Again, not knowing when, but knowing the master will return, knowing the Lord will return, what should we be doing? We should be serving. We should be working. We should be doing our best to make sure that we are ready. If the servant known, even the wicked servant, if he knew when the master was going to be there, he would have time to put his affairs in straight. Right? He could have lived wickedly the whole time, and then at the last moment he says, "All right, I got a day left. I'm going to start fixing and cleaning and putting everything in correct and getting the story lined up." When I tell Casey, when she goes up to her parents or anywhere else and leaves me home alone for more than a day by myself, I say, "You let me know when you leave. It gives me so many hours to clean the house. I gotta know. She cannot surprise me. If she does, the house is gonna be a mess. I need to know." But when it comes to the end time, that's not how we should act. Knowing judgment is coming, we have to be ready at all times for when the Lord shall return. In Matthew 25, 1 through 13, again, here telling us the parable of the 10 virgins, right? You have 5 that are wise and 5 that are foolish. And so the wise brings some oil for their lanterns. They all go and wait. And as they get delayed, it gets dark. They fell asleep. And then all of a sudden, it's time. It's dark outside. The foolish can't see. Say, "Hey, lend us some." They say, "No. Lest we both run out and then neither of us can make it." And so the foolish had to return. The foolish had to go back and find some oil. Buy it. And then as they finally make it back, it's too late. The gates are closed. So again, in order to be ready for that day, that means we have to prepare before it comes. When we hear the trumpet of the Lord and we see the angels descending, the Lord coming down in the air and the cloud, it's too late. It just is. That's not the time to go, "What must I do?" That's not the time to say, "Oh yeah, he said I needed to be baptized. Oh yeah, I didn't go and make things right with brother so-and-so and ask for his forgiveness and let others know I forgave them." That's not the time. Right now is the time to prepare, because you are still breathing, because you have the ability to go forth and come forward and be baptized, wash your sins away, to go to God in prayer and ask Him for forgiveness, to go to your brother or sister in Christ and ask them for forgiveness, or to go to a brother and sister in Christ and say, "I forgive you." Now is the time that we can make our lives right and make sure that we're ready for when the Lord returns. You continue through Matthew chapter 25, and you look at verses 14 through 30 about the parable of talents. Again, it's much like what we started there in verse 24, where the master leaves and gives talents to certain servants. And it's about the master returning. You pick up with me in verse 24. It says, he also had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. In the coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and him will have abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, it's speaking about that day of judgment. It's speaking about that time when the master returns, when the Lord shall return. He says he's blessed us. He's given us certain abilities. He's given you a task at hand. He's commanded us to go forth and do certain things. And we talked about, again, the money here that he's using in reference in these verses. The talent that we have, the ability to write cards, ability to sing, the ability to start Bible studies, to invite people to worship, whatever talent you got. When the Lord returns, he's going to figure out whether or not you've been using it, whether you've been investing in it, whether you've been slothful or been working. And the one who is slothful, the one who is not doing his work, he says they are worthless and slothful, and they are going to be cast out. What good things you have is going to be taken away. How should we prepare? What should we be doing? We need to be working. Doing as God has commanded us, using what he has blessed us with. Again, the rest of the chapter, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, here it goes forth. The Lord is going to, again, we notice the end time, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on this glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another. The shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right, and his goats on the left. And then he's going to speak to them. He's going to speak to those who have done well. He's going to, well done. Enter into the kingdom. You visited me when I was sick and in prison. You gave me food when I was hungry. You gave me a drink when I was thirsty. You clothed me when I was naked. And then it goes the opposite when he speaks to the other side, to the west side. And to them, they had not done these things. He said, you didn't visit. Didn't give me anything. You didn't assist me at all. And of course, they're kind of caught up clueless. What? Because as much as we're doing unto others, we have done unto the Lord. As much as we have treated his children, brothers and sisters in Christ, as much as we've treated those of the world, those who he's trying to bring in, we've got to be ready. We have to continuously be working to make sure that we're ready for that day in which the Lord shall return. So many examples through the scriptures point to these things, point and show us, warn us about the end of time, and then go forth and talk about the things that we're going to be judged by. Therefore, that's what we need to be doing. How we should be acting as we live our lives upon this earth. And so we can turn to Hebrews also, and we'll look at another example this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, and again, I tell you, it speaks about the end of time and what we should be doing till then. Because in verse 25 it says, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. All the more as you see the day drawing near. So it's saying, these are the things we should be doing, and even more, knowing the end of time is coming close. Knowing our life might be taken away. And so what does he tell us? What are some of the things we can find in these verses? In verse, starting up in verse 19, therefore, brothers, since you have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new living way that he opened for us through a curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Here, what are we supposed to do? Draw near to God. Clear your conscience. How? By the blood of Christ, by the washing away of your sins. By baptism. Again, 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Baptism does now save. Not the putting away of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. That's how we get that clear conscience, is by being baptized and washing your sins away, knowing the blood of Christ has cleansed you. That's as close as we can get, right? It is the blood of Christ being washed, being without blemish. Draw near to God. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. He's going to come. He's going to return. He can help uphold you. He can give you strength. He is faithful. Therefore, what are we doing? Hold fast that confession. Stand firm in the faith. Continue to fight the good fight. We can't let it go. We can't say just one day you come forward and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're dipped in water. You're raised up. You go back into the world. You go back, continue sinning. That's not what it says. It says you made a confession. It says you made a covenant, a commitment with God. Therefore, hold to it. Verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Again, this is all in mindset as we're working our way up to that verse. It says, all the more as the day is drawing near, to stir up love and good works. Let us consider every day on how to stir up love and good works. How we can encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. How we can build up one another. How we can express the love of God. These are the things we need to be doing, that we need to be focusing on, that we need to be meditating on as that day draws closer. As that day draws nearer and nearer. And in verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Again, assembling with each other, meeting together, worshiping with each other. And that's how we do stir up love and good works. Now, we can do a lot of stuff out on our own. We can do it individually at our homes by being hospitable and inviting each other in. I agree. We need to be doing all that. We need to be doing that. But we also need to come together and worship as we are this morning, as we're here now. Again, the number over here, that don't get me. You know, it's exciting sometimes when you see it start to rise and go high. But it's exciting when I see the auditorium floor, because you know you're gathered by others who have the same faith, that have the desire to praise God. Because you know when the auditorium's full, that it actually takes less of our singing to sing out loudly, because there's so many people here. My uncle would always say that the easiest place to lead songs for was when he was at a congregation that is a large congregation. Because my mindset was that'd be the hardest place to go and to lead song, because it was a large, you know, you're standing in front of a whole lot more people, you know, maybe a congregation of 300 or so. I'm just there, I'm like, but once you start it, man, everybody just lets go, and it's just, it's uplifting, it builds you up, it's encouraging. And so it should excite us, and then it should push us, and we should leave here motivated and stronger as we're with our brothers and sisters in Christ. All the more as the day continues to draw closer. Verse 26 says, for if we go on sinning deliberately after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but fearful expectation of judgment and fury of the fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of God, grace? Here it goes in,
you know, what we should be doing after we receive the truth, the knowledge, the understanding of who Jesus is, what he has done, and the fact that the end is coming.
But if we just throw all that to the side, that sacrifice of Christ, it's warning us what kind of punishment is going to come upon us. Again, you go under the old law after the witness of two or three people, one or two people, you know, they were stoned to death. A man was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day that they were supposed to keep holy, and he was stoned to death. How much worse of a punishment do you suppose will be on those who neglect to remember the sacrifice of Christ? Those who refuse to obey. A certain fearful expectation of judgment. In verse 36, as we're leading to, it says, "For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." We must endure and continuously do the will of God, continuously be obedient and faithful to our Lord and Savior. There's no stopping time until our God stops. And so we know that day is drawing closer and closer. And just because the end is drawing near doesn't mean you get to go live and do whatever you want. Because you're like, well, there's no consequences because the end is near. But rather, we need to make sure we're preparing for that day, and that we're living holy and godly from day to day, and that we're shining His bright light unto others. And we're doing the work He has set before us. Let us prepare. And if you're here this morning and you need to prepare, you need to make your life right, you need to be baptized and wash your sins away, let us know. Come forward. Confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized. We have the water ready. You can be baptized this morning. If you're here, you need prayers of congregation to assist you as you continue to live that faithful life. Because again, it may be another 100 years before you face that judgment. Then let us pray for you. Let us assist you in any way that we can. And let it be known as we stand and see. There's a great day coming.